I remember an old lady when I went to Macrofelt first of all, said to me very sincerely, "Young man, as a preacher, don't forget the Proverbs. Don't forget the Proverbs." And you know, the book of Proverbs is an important book. In actual fact, every single verse is practically a sermon in its own. It's a statement that is so profound that you would do well to stop and read. It's not like a story, like some of the story that Jesus told or the parables that Jesus told. In actual fact, there is a message in every single verse. It's a book of counsel. In actual fact, there are two main purposes in the book of Proverbs, and one is to teach, and the other is to train. We find that it is an instruction of a father to a son. And of course, we know today that many young people don't want to hear instruction, and it's so easily cast aside. People don't like to be told what to do or what they ought to think or what God has got to say. And yet the Word of God says, oh, that they were wise, that they would understand this, that they would consider their latter end. Proverbs 1 and verse number 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." It's only a fool that casts aside God's instruction, because God is indeed a holy, a righteous, and not only a sovereign God, but God is wisdom himself. And over again, we find these words in the book of Proverbs. For example, look at verse number 8. "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Verse number 10, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit." Verse 15, "My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." Chapter 2 and verse 1, "My son." Chapter 3 and verse 1, "My son." Chapter 5 and verse 1, "My son." Chapter 6 verse 1, chapter 7 verse 1, "My son, my son." And so here we find that this is a word of a father of instruction for his son. It is a loving warning of a father concerning the enticement of sin and the result of sin. Now the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 23 in verse 3, "A prudent or a wise man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself." In other words, he listens to the warning and he heeds the warning and he hides himself because he foreseeth the evil. And then it says, "The simple pass on and are punished." And the word "simple" there doesn't mean that they're simple as far as their mind is concerned, but it simply means they don't think the things through. And you know, friend, we live in a day and age when people are saying, just let's have a good time to ourselves. Let's think of the moment. Let's live for today. And no matter what happens thereafter, they're the careless and they're the simple as far as the word is concerned. In other words, they reject the instruction of the word of God. Verse 23 of chapter 1 says, "Turn ye at my reproof." And then in verse number 25 it says, "But ye have set at naught all my counsel." In other words, you pushed it away, you cast it to the side, "and would none of my reproof." My friend, you can warn a person, but if the person is not willing to listen, then they will learn the hard way and they will learn the reality of breaking the law of God and facing the judgment of God itself. Now in this chapter 1 also it says, In verse number 21, she crieth, the word she is wisdom crieth in the chief place of concord. In verse number 20, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. And so there is a word of wisdom here that men and women that need to listen to and need to adhere to. But you know, the Bible tells us, just, you know, the prodigal son, I have no doubt whatsoever, the father warned him. It says here, wisdom crieth, she crieth. In other words, it's a broken-hearted father. It's a broken-hearted mother that's pleading with their son and begging their son to listen, because perhaps they themselves have learned a sad lesson as they walk down the road of life, and they want to warn their children lest they will go into that pit as well. My dear friends, wisdom crieth. And today I asked you before God, listen to what God says, because the heart of God, do you remember the Lord Jesus looked over the city of Jerusalem and he said, how long would I have gathered thee as a hen would have gathered her brood under her wings, but ye would not. And the Bible says Jesus wept over that city, for the Savior's heart was broken over a people that would not listen. My dear friends, you have the opportunity of hearing the gospel again. And yet is the heart of Christ not broken as he has called you time after time after time to repent of your sin and to turn to him for salvation? And yet you walked away, and you went away just like the prodigal. The father warned him. The father begged his son not to go. But the Bible says he gathered all together and he made his way into the far country. He wouldn't listen to the words of warning. He didn't want to hear what the father had to say. But the sad reality was this. He learned the lesson, the bitter lesson, because he went into the far country. And when he had spent all, my friend, no man would give unto him. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the far country. And then he went out to feed the swine. And he was so hungry, he longed to take the food that the very pigs, the swine, were eating, because nobody would give him. Remember, his father gave him the best at home. And now he's sitting at the swine trough and he's putting his hand into the pig's food and he's taking it. And sitting there, he came to himself and he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? But look at me. And he looks at himself as he sits there dirty with a stench of the far country upon him, and my friend sitting down at the pig trough. And he said, I perish with hunger. But thank God he came to himself and he thought about his father. And he said, I will arise and I'll go to my father. And I'll tell my father, Father, I've sinned against you. My friend, not only was there a broken-hearted father that was crying over his son, but praise God, that broken-hearted son came to the place where he cried. He cried out because of his lost and sinful estate and perishing with hunger. And he came home and he said, Father, I've sinned against you and I'm not worthy to be called your son. Oh, men and women, listen. Wisdom crieth, and the heart of God is broken over your heart, dear sinner, because God is a God ready to pardon. He's a God mighty to save, a God that's ready to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. But tell me, my friend, after hearing God's word, and perhaps it's not the first time, but many times you've heard God's voice before, and yet he stands outside the door because you're still rejecting the Savior. I want us to think of a verse in this book of Proverbs of counsel, and it says this, Proverbs 29 and the verse number 1. And it's that verse I want to leave with you. It says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I want you to notice the personality in the text. The opening word is he. It's not they. It's a very personal, it's a very individual statement of truth. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, many times in his ministry, the Savior was crowded with the people in his years of popularity. Some of them came out of curiosity. Some of them came earnestly desiring to hear. Some of them came because of the miracles. Some of them came to be healed not only in body, but in soul. But whilst it's true that he spoke to the multitudes, let me tell you, when it came to salvation, it was to do with the individual relationship with God through Jesus Christ, God's Son. You see, God doesn't bring salvation to souls in the crowd. It is a personal relationship. What did the psalmist say? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Remember what Jesus said? What shall it profit a man, an individual man? What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Do you remember Nicodemus? Yes, the crowd had been listening to Christ. But then Nicodemus came at night to Jesus, and Jesus spoke to Nicodemus alone, and he said this, Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. On Friday night we were reading in John chapter 5. We spoke about the man at the pool of Bethesda, that pool of mercy there amongst the porches of grace. And as that man lay there, the Bible says there's a great multitude of sick people there. But then the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, saw a certain man. Yes, there were many there. But Jesus came having seen that one man amidst that miracle. And Jesus asked him, wilt thou be made whole? Because this healing of body, but the healing of soul, is an individual, personal thing in your heart. You remember the Lord Jesus talked about in Luke's Gospel chapter 12. And God said about the certain man, and his ground had brought forth plentifully. But God said to him, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Many others around him were still alive, but that night God came for him. The Lord Jesus Christ was going through Jericho. There was a crowd around the Savior, and they were listening to everything the Savior said. He had healed the blind man, blind Bartimaeus, and the Lord Jesus had called him, and thank God the Lord had healed him. But as the Savior was going out of Jericho, he stopped under a tree, and up the tree he looked, and he saw one man in that whole multitude of people, and he called him by name, and he said, Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, come down, for this day I must go to thy house. And my friend, thank God salvation was brought to his house that day. Thank God that day the Lord changed Zacchaeus' life. Remember the road to Damascus, and Saul was riding on horseback. There were outriders, and those who were with them, they were going to gather the saints of God and to bring them back to Jerusalem and to put them to death or to put them into prison. My friend, as he was going down that Damascus road, the Lord Jesus stopped him, and he fell, the light shone from heaven, and he fell on his face to the ground. And the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Let me tell you, my friend, there were other men that were there, but the Lord came for Saul that day. You see, salvation is a personal, it's an individual thing. The book of Romans in the chapter 14, verse 12 says, everyone shall give an account of himself to God. My dear friend, you'll not give an account for somebody else. I remember years ago, there was a wee man in our congregation in Macrofelt. He came faithfully Sunday after Sunday, but Matt wasn't saved. I remember challenging one night concerning his salvation. He said to me, you know, Mr. McRae, he says, you know, there's a woman not far from me. And she goes to a meeting or a prayer meeting on a certain night during the week. And she carries a big Bible under her arm, nearly as big as herself. Now, he was exaggerating. But, of course, he didn't mind doing that. And he says, you know, she's the biggest hypocrite in the country. And I listen to a wee moment and I says, Matt, stop. Stop, Matt. You know, the Word of God says, everyone shall give an account of who? Himself to God. Himself to God. And let me tell you, my dear friend, when you stand before God, you'll not answer for the family. You'll not answer to those other people or for those other people, because it's you and God alone. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, but they stand individually before God, and the books were open, and you'll stand individually. Thank God, as I challenged Matt that day concerning his soul, he didn't know what to say, but one night, glory to God, he got gloriously saved himself. Got his eyes of other people. I said, Matt, let me tell you, if that's true about that woman, God will take care of her. Don't you worry. Leave her with God. But remember, it's your soul. What should it profit? Amen. That's you, Matt. If you gain the whole world and you lost your own soul, for what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Do you remember whenever God in the Garden of Eden, whenever the voice of the Lord God came walking in the garden of the cool of the day, and it says that Adam and Eve, they ran and they hid themselves, or they tried to, and they sewed the fig leaves together to make themselves aprons, for they were naked before a righteous and a holy God. And God said, Adam, 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 where art thou? Let me tell you, my friend, he spoke to Eve after that, but he spoke to Adam individually. He spoke to Eve individually. And do you remember what Adam said? When God challenged him, what hast thou done? And he said, the woman that thou hast given to me, she gave me, and I did eat. It's her fault, God. Yes, I did eat. I have broken your law. I have rebelled against your law. I have sinned against you. But God, it's her fault. She gave me, and I did eat. The woman gave me. And then he says, God, the woman that you gave me, she gave me, and I did eat. In other words, it's her fault. And then it's your fault, God. Notice, he didn't want to admit it was his fault. But my friend, listen, he had to finish it. She gave me, and I did eat. Yes, it was his sin. It was his sin. And friend, when you stand before God, it's an individual that will be standing before God. Your mother won't be standing there. Your brother won't be standing there. Your wife won't be standing there. No, friend, it's you and God alone. And there upon that throne of judgment is the very Christ that you're faced with this afternoon, the one who stands at the door of your heart and knocks and desires and longs to save you from your sin, because God has given judgment unto his Son, the day of judgment. He's the one that sits upon the throne, and you look into the eyes of the one that you have rejected. Yes, it says he. But not only do we have the personality here, notice secondly the privilege here. He that being often reproved. You know, we're travelers to eternity. We're traveling to the day of judgment. We'll be standing before God, and then to eternity, either heaven or hell, dear sinner. That's your end if you die without Christ. But you know, as you travel to eternity, God has not let you go on in your sin. Thank God he's brought you here this afternoon. You're not here by chance. I don't believe there's one of these cars that's sitting here by chance. I believe that God has allowed you in his sovereign love and in his mercy and his grace. God has allowed you to be here. And that's a privilege, to hear the warning voice of God and to hear the grand old gospel of Jesus Christ. Rather than letting you go on in your sin and taking the punishment in hell because of your sin, he offers pardon. He offers forgiveness. He offers cleansing. He offers peace through the blood of the cross. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, the privilege of knowing. My dear friend, you need not perish. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stepped out of heaven's glory, and he came down into this sin-cursed scene of time, and he took upon himself and humbled himself and became a man and walked among us. And one day he went to Calvary, and there on Calvary's cross, he took the burden and the load and the weight of my sin and the punishment and the hell that was due because of it. He died that I might be forgiven. He died to make me good, that I might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. And the Lord Jesus said that he was come to seek, and he's come to save, that which was lost. We read in Proverbs chapter 1, in the verse number 24, it says, I have called, and ye have refused. I have stretched out my hand, says Christ. And remember, the hand of Christ is a nail-printed hand. It's a nail-scarred hand, because they nailed it at Calvary's cross. And he said, I've stretched out my hand, but no man regarded. In other words, they pushed it away. They didn't want it. Yes, God reproves men over their sin. He warns them about sin's penalty. He rebukes them. He corrects them. He chastises them. He speaks to them. He reproves them. Oh, he reproves in different ways. Sometimes he speaks through sickness. I remember a wee man in our congregation of Macrofelt. His son was gloriously saved, but his father had no time for God. And you know, he was a real hard-working man and an honorable man in so many ways, but his heart was hard. But then one day he went in to the hospital suddenly with a heart attack. And you know, he was lying in the intensive care. And I went in to see him. Oh, I'd often talked to him before, but he hadn't time to listen. But friend, he had time now. He wasn't going anywhere. He was headed to eternity, yes. But he certainly wasn't going anywhere. He was lying there in the bed. And I remember God gave me the joy, not only of speaking to him, but of leading him to Jesus Christ. He asked me to bring in a Bible. My, I knew the work of God was done in his heart. He wanted to read God's word. I remember going in to see him one day, and my, the Bible was there at the side of his locker in the intensive care ward. I remember saying to him, Willie, how are you? And you know what he said, Mr. McRae, I really am happy in the Lord. You know, I was talking to the Lord this morning. You know what I told him? I said, Lord, if you want me to live, I'm happy to live. If you want me to die, I'm happy to die. Lord, no matter whether it's life or death, I'm happy. And you know, that was great. We'd shared together. I talked to him again. I read the scriptures. I says, well, I will have a wee word of prayer and thank God for all the work that he has done in your heart. And friend, as I was bowed in prayer, all I could hear was this. And the next thing, the nurses threw the curtains around the bed and asked me to leave. And they started to bring the machinery in around his bed. And shortly after that, they came out and said, sorry, Mr. McRae. Well, he's gone. Well, he's gone. The last thing he said to me, I've told the Lord, I'm happy to live if you want me to live. I'm happy to die if you want me to die. Lord, whatever you want, I'm happy. Oh, my friend, the Lord had made a change. You know what happened? God had to put him onto his back to really face them with eternity and the eternal realities. Sometimes it's sickness. Sometimes it's through sorrow. I remember a man who became one of my greatest friends in Macrofell, an elder in the congregation. I remember him telling me. He said, you know, he was at a grave one day in his unsaved days. And as he was standing there, this person was saved. And he heard at the end, they were gathered still around the grave. And the grave digger was putting in the clay on top of the coffin. And he heard the thud of the clay going down on top of the coffin. And he says, as I heard the thud of the clay going down the coffin, this voice said to me, Sandy, if that had been you, if that had been your coffin, if that had been your grave, tell me, Sandy, where would you be? And Sandy knew the answer was, he'd be in hell. Oh, my dear friend, God spoke to him that day. And through the reality of death. And you know, sometimes death has to visit our homes before some will listen. Before God would break their hearts to make them think about eternal things. Sometimes it's through a godly saint. You know, I remember a faithful Sunday school teacher when I was unsaved. Sunday after Sunday, she told me that I needed Jesus. She told me about my sin. She told me about the cross. She told me about the blood. She told me that Jesus Christ was coming again. And God was writing those things upon the heart of a wee child of 8. And thank God, God brought me to repentance. But I always remember that faithful Sunday school teacher that told me God's way and God's plan of salvation. Sometimes, my friend, God reproves through the supplication or the prayers of a friend or a loved one. It was Sam Jones, the evangelist. He was saying one day he sat beside the bedside of a traveling salesman. He asked him, friend, are you saved? He said, yes, I am. He said, tell me, how did you get saved? Well, he said, when I left home, Mr. Jones, many years ago, my mother said, son, I'll pray for you to be saved as long as God gives me breath. He said, I knew that every day that I lived, that my mother was praying for me, but it didn't concern me. It didn't bother me. I went on in my sin. He said, you know, she wrote me letters week after week. And in the letters, once again, it'll be all filled about Jesus and begging me to come to Christ. And then he said, you know, when she was 70 years of age, he said, my mother one day sent me a letter. And I noticed there was something different because the letter, the writing was shaky. It was a shaky handwriting. And I noticed something else in the midst of the writing and the ink. I noticed it was smudged because there were the tears. And I knew it was my mother's tears that were praying for her wayward son. And you know, and I thought of that old hand just writing, that shaky hand and those tear-stained eyes. He said, I just fell on my knees before God. And I cried to God, oh God, save me. I want my mother's Savior. And he said, you know, Mr. Jones, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. He said, I wrote home that evening. I said, Mother, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I've wasted all these years. But I want you to know your son is now a Christian. Friend, tell me, my friend, is God speaking to you? Perhaps you have a godly mother that has prayed for you, that has cried to God, maybe still doing it. Night after night crying to God, oh God, save my son, save my daughter. Maybe a godly wife, maybe a godly husband, maybe a godly father, mother, granny, granda. But they know and love the Lord and they're crying to God for you. Maybe it's through God's servant, through the foolishness of preaching. Because God is ordained to save through the foolishness of preaching them that believe. Sometimes it's through a gospel tract. Maybe, you know, I was traveling down the road today and I saw on one of the trees that little verse of God's precious word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Sometimes God speaks. Maybe it's a gospel tract, a text of scripture. But my friend, no matter who God uses, it's all the work of the Spirit of God. If a man's saved, It's the Spirit of God that speaks to our hearts. It's the Spirit of God that calls us. It's the Spirit of God that reproves us. Notice what it says. Often reproved. How many times have you heard God's call, my friend? Time after time. Maybe mission after mission. This is another mission. Not your first. But you're still not saved. And my father, it was the last night of a mission. My dad was going back to the car. His niece called and said, Uncle Bob, this is the last night of another mission. And you're still not saved. And she begged him to come to Christ. And thank God he did come that night. Became a new creature in Christ Jesus. But notice, my friend, the possibility in the text. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. You see, man who hears and rejects. I remember hearing about a doctor, a surgeon. And you know, whenever he performed his first operation where the person died on the table, he went home that night and he wrestled the whole night as he thought, could have done something else, could have done something else, could have done more. And he could hardly sleep. But no, he said after 20 years had passed, and whenever somebody died on the table, yes, he felt sorry, but he quickly forgot. And my friend, let me tell you, that's what happens. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. You remember what it used to be. It was like Felix. Felix heard Paul preaching and he trembled. He trembled in the presence of God. But let me tell you, he heard the word often again. But it doesn't say he ever trembled again. Why? Because he hardened his neck. And resistance, stubbornly, obstinately refusing the call of the gospel. My friend, every time you do it, it's easier to walk away unsaved. But remember this, you're nearer hell than ever before. For he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, notice the penalty, shall suddenly be destroyed. Suddenly destroyed. And that without remedy. Oh, you see, my friend, God doesn't always call. In the book of Genesis chapter 6, God looked upon this earth. And God saw the sin. There was nothing, only evil. Yes, in the imagination of man's heart, it was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man. And God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And friend, let me tell you this. God sent his servant Noah. He built an ark 120 years. He preached the word. He warned. The people laughed at him. The people thought he was a fool. And then God said this to Noah. Yet 7 days. Just 7 days left. I have no doubt Noah went out. He said, you know what God has told me? Time's up. Just 7 days. And you know, Noah brought. The animals came into the ark. And then God brought Noah and his wife and his 3 sons and their wives. And then the Bible says this, as they went in through the door, God shut through the door. Noah didn't. God did. And let me tell you, the door that God shut on Noah that day in the ark, Noah couldn't open. Oh, I have no doubt the people, whenever the rain came, they cried out, Noah, open the door. Open the door. We're sorry. But God's day of grace was over, friend. Noah didn't close the door. God did. And God shut to the door. I said the other evening, you read the story of Pharaoh in the scriptures. And you'll read this, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then another plague, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. And another plague, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then another, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then it says this, and God hardened his heart. You see, his day of grace was over. His day of grace was over. And God says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Read the book of Daniel, friend. Do you remember Belshazzar? And he had a feast for 1,000 of his lords. And my, they were holding up the glasses that were from the temple in Jerusalem. And they'd been taken away down into Babylon. And they filled it with the wine of the world. And they cried out, long live the king. You know, at that very time, little did they know, the enemy's army was coming in. And you know, that Bible said, God, the finger of God wrote on the wall. And God said, I have weighed you in the balance, and I have found you wanting. Know what God said that night? God says, party's over. Party's over. Let me tell you, dear sinner, yes, you can have your sin, but I can tell you, God's the power to say, party's over. Party's over. I remember there was a night in a disco hall, and they set up the music, and they set my all. They were having a night of drink and all the rest of it, and dancing, and everything was going to be far as the world was concerned. Nothing was going to stop it. And then all of a sudden, friend, the young lad put on the guitar. And when he put the guitar on and he put in the electric power, it went through, the power went through the electric cord. And it just went through into the lad, and he was thrown onto the floor and he was dead. Party was over. Disco was finished. You see, God is the power, friend. What did Job say? That God had the power to give, but God had the power to take away. And it says this, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. Notice, shall, not might, it's certain in a moment of time. Don't trifle with God, friend. You know, the mission's nearly over. There's one last thought I want to leave with you, and it's this. It's found in the same verse. Notice it says, and that without remedy. There's the promise. You see, when God steps in, when God says party's over, when God says this night thy soul shall be required of thee, when God calls you to account the day of judgment, let me tell you, friend, never again without remedy. Never again will you be moved. Never again will you be concerned. Yes, others will shed their tears. Others will know conviction. Others will run to Christ for salvation. But it says, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. What a tragedy. What an awful tragedy. Without remedy. Some years ago, there was a lad, he was a member of my congregation. He was also a policeman. But you know, although he was just a police reserve man, it didn't matter who you were in the ranks. He warned everyone individually and personally their need of God's salvation. And everyone was faithfully warned. One day he was standing at the barrier at the barracks. And when he was standing there, one of his young mates that he had spoken to many times before, as he lifted up the barrier to let him out, he was going off duty. One of his young mates turned to him and he said this to him. He says, Cecil, and laughed, Cecil. He says, if there's a hell, I'll meet you there. And laughed. And on he went. Drove the car home. You know, friend, he thought he was in control of everything. Yes, Cecil, if there's a hell, I'll meet you there. You know, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. That lad went home to his home. He got his evening meal. He changed his clothes into his leathers. He got onto his motorbike to go out for the night for a ride. He went down a dual carriageway. And friends, something happened. He lost control. He went underneath a vehicle in front of him. And when they turned him over, he was dead. The last words he said to the faithful child of God, Cecil, if there's a hell, I'll meet you there. And they laughed. Listen to me carefully, friend. Listen to me carefully. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And at the end of this gospel mission, he, that's you, he that being often reproved, friend, is that you? Has God spoken to you time after time? Perhaps there have been nights you've been troubled. Wasn't the preacher that troubled you, friend? It was the Spirit of God. He that being often reproved, but hardeneth his neck. Is that what you've been doing? Steeling yourself against the call of God? Maybe saying to God some other time, God, before the 12 hour midnight hour strikes on the 11:59, stick around, God. I'll call then. But notice what God says, often reprove hardeneth his neck. And unknown to you, my friend, your neck has been hardened against coming to Christ. That's what the devil has been doing. That was his plan all the time, to harden you against coming to Christ. But God says, shall suddenly be destroyed. In a moment of time, God can call the last time. Friend, God's calling you. I wonder, is this the last time? It's invitation time. Is it the last time of God's call? And then suddenly destroyed. In other words, God gave you over to your sin. And the wages of it, eternal separation from God forever in hell. And that without remedy. There'll be no coming back, friend. I've often said it. Those in heaven will never want back. But those that die in sin and go to hell will never get back. But for all eternity. All eternity. To remember the mission, the driving mission. 6 mile cross. God called me. And the preacher preached to me. But the Spirit of God moved me. And I was almost there. But I walked away. I lost eternity of regret. Friend, I beg you, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. God loves you. He gave his son for you. Savior shed his blood for you. And he bids you, I call. Friend, don't refuse. Because there'll come a day when you call. Too late. And God says, I'll not answer. May God save you today for Jesus' sake. Amen.